Welcome to another episode of the Shutdown Fullcast. We're going to get moving straight out of the gate on the internet's only college football podcast. Besides the solid verbal, that's another one. But with immediate news, like big quarterback news out of Florida, right? Ryan, lay it on us.
Oh my God! So it's a name you know coming to Florida from a school you know.
Big school.
Luke Del Rio is coming back to, well, I don't know if he's ever been. No, he must have been. Back to the Sunshine State from Oregon State, formerly of Alabama. Hard to think of a more momentous
transfer ever.
I mean, really. As far as transfers from one college to another, with the second one being a college in the state of Florida, that's as big as it gets this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the chance to sow that Del Rio seed, a sentence I immediately regret saying.
No, you're good.
No, it's fallow. It's a real fallow.
Yeah, now this
tree grows axes.
This is the only major quarterback transfer news of the day.
Involving a Florida school, at least.
Involving a Florida school, that is correct. The only big stuff from OSU. Not OSU, but OSU. Oregon State.
I mean, dude went 8 of 18 last year. That's almost 50%. Are you kidding me?
You know, that's you want to talk about improvement for Florida on the offensive side of the ball. 8 of 18 for 141 yards. I mean, that's like three games production.
I mean, look at it like that. How many turnovers did he have? Was it like fewer than 22?
You know what?
Definitely.
He only threw 18 passes.
So it had to be. I mean, sacks and fumbles and things, but let's assume those didn't happen.
That's way fewer than 22.
Jeez.
Yeah, so way to go. Also, any chance you can get Juan of the River closer to your program, if you can get a little bit of that Jack Del Rio greatness and just hunker up next to it, that's what you want to do.
Because he's always got that exit strategy waiting. The NFL's not going to work.
Excellence is haunted by the ghost of the 2004 Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know this.
They haunt me every night.
They actually do.
That might just be chaps.
That might be every Jacksonville Jaguars fan. It's such a joy to me every year when season tickets come out and I can search my mentions and find people openly cheering, "Yay, got my Jags tickets!" Like somebody mailed me anthrax in an envelope and it came to my house and I celebrate.
That's like an annual tweet is Spencer saying, you sweet idiots.
Yeah, that's just schedule it.
I like the flip side of that, which is the Jags fans who renew their season tickets, but no, it's a terrible decision and talk about it openly. Like, oh.
Yeah, I think that's all of them. I think these are all one and the same.
Someone help me.
The psychology of self-harm prevents me from doing anything else.
Oh, so yes, that's literally the only major news involving quarterback transfers. So that's awesome. We got Luke Del Rio, who may have just taken the throne as college quarterback who sounds most like a Dierks Bentley clone.
Wow. All right, podcast over right there, I assume.
Luke Del Rio playing the Shaky Boots Festival with Brad Paisley. And celebrating his new album, I Made Love to a Truck.
Wait, no, got that wrong. It's Chad Paisley. We've been duped.
Yes, it's Brad's less talented.
Oh, damn. It's Brad Argyle.
Dang it.
It's Brad Plaid.
We didn't really have a whole lot else happen this week in college football. Auburn announced that they had more physical practices than usual, so enjoy those injuries and unsportsmanlike penalties on defense, Auburn.
Damn, that was second biggest story of the week.
Second biggest story of the week was the standard boilerplate. By the way, we are playing harder than we did last year.
I disagree. I like that Texas is so disinterested in playing Texas A&M that it is more interested in talking about playing games in foreign nations.
Yeah. I like the exact quote from the AD, which is, we're booked solid through 2027. Also, in 2020, we're going to try and play in Mexico.
Sorry, can't help you. Ever since we got that Michelin star, we just booked up. Listen,
we are so damn locked up, we can't even find... I don't even have time to take a shit. But Texas, I am going to try and schedule a game in Mexico City.
Now, if Texas A&M is willing to sit at the bar, we could possibly accommodate them. But even that would be an hour and a half.
Maybe we'll meet them in Guadalajara.
This is just Texas creating a separate anonymous Instagram account to, like, creep on Texas A&M. Right? Like, no, I'm not faving these pictures. Babe. You're looking good.
I miss you, girl.
I miss you. I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about you.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point where, like, we just sort of, all the passive-aggressive bullshit they launch at each other, we'll just find a scoring system and figure out who wins each year and be like, yeah, I actually don't even care if they play or not. This is just as good.
I'm surprised Kevin Sumlin has not already devised this.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
He has for recruiting purposes. That's true.
Yeah, he'll show the kids.
Hey, man, we beat them 8-3.
Look at that.
You want to go to a 3-burn school? That's embarrassing.
We won the Salt Cup. It's that Texas. They could get it sponsored, I bet. They can be like, sponsored by Morton's.
Yeah, Texas, you Lot's wife now.
The Shade Showdown.
Exactly. You buy Whataburger for us this year. That's the prize.
That is truly the Salt Cup.
The other minor news, this is just from a story on linebacker Drake Martinez out of Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio got the appeal. Drake Martinez will be playing and is eligible for 2015 and have two seasons of eligibility. He was going to sit out this season, but then appealed and will have two seasons of eligibility starting in 2016. This is all incidental to what I actually want to talk about, which is this quote from MSU co-defensive coordinator Mike Tressel, who said, but just watch how he finishes blitzes because he wants to get after you. Power and nasty, not just power. But it looks at that moment like he wants to kill you. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but that's what it looks like. So remember, Mike Tressel of Michigan State on the record is saying, man, this player is really reminiscent of a murderer.
That's next week on Serial.
Next, yeah. You've got a call from East Lansing.
Power and Nasty was not well regarded, but I think in retrospect, it is one of Keith Sweat's better albums.
I thought you were going to say Janet Jackson.
Damn it!
Power and Nasty, you know, Power and Nasty could also be a Cool Keith album, so I think we're all right.
I think Cool Keith, he goes like Power Nasty.
Yeah.
Power Nasty 75.
Power Nasty Man 75-8.
And I think Janet probably goes power / nasty.
Yeah, there's some crazy punctuation there. That's when everybody who named albums in the 90s found the rest of the keyboard. Like, ooh.
Oh, my God. Guys, watch what happens when I press Alt.
That's it. If you want to type like any like existence or if you want to type any anything created in the 90s, just unnecessarily smack the periphery of the keyboard.
On your Windows computer, open character map.
The Alt with the numbers on the side.
Yeah.
That's how you get that good shit.
Yeah. That's really everything that happened. So I wanted to steer the conversation tonight towards reader questions, but we're going to open up on one long. Because it's from Alexander Anderson, at Mr. Al Anderson on Twitter, who asks, should coaching hot seats have corporate sponsors? And then leaps to, now our update on the Doritos Locos hot seat. I think so, because the hot seat is such a well-worn, tried-and-true concept on getting through the off-season that we can, I think, give it to Doritos Locos, right?
I like that, but it also feels like this would be a rotating like movie that's coming out Christmas or something. Be like Sahara, starring Matthew McConaughey, presents the Sahara hot seat.
Yeah, it's not going to be an annual sponsorship. They got to keep fighting for it. Yep.
That's true. You got to pitch this out, man.
Duck Commander will take it if it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, so will we. It could be the SB Nation, SB Nation hot seat. I was looking at a list of things that are currently being shot in Atlanta. Movies that are currently being shot in Atlanta.
Phew, set my heart to skip.
Sorry. Yeah, they put your name on a list. They're
I ducked down. I was looking around.
You better run, son. Thursday's not a good day for you. And one of the things that is shot here is a Lifetime series created by program creator Mark Cherry. Does that name ring a bell? That would be the creator of Desperate Housewives.
Oh, God.
Mark Cherry says, I think he's just given up.
I was really hoping this was Ron Cherry's brother.
You know, he might be. There would be some interesting genetic manipulation going on in the two. But Devious Maids. Devious Maids is shot here. And, man, I would love for this to be the Devious Maids coach's hot seat. The SB Nation Devious Maids coach's hot seat. Or coach's hot seat brought to you by Mark Cherry's Devious Maids only on Lifetime TV.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
can we just sell that sponsorship to them? Like, maybe they don't know that we're not in charge of the hot seat because nobody is, but we just say, hey, man, this could be yours for $200.
I think we just did. This week, we're just giving it to him for free.
All right, Ryan, you used to be a lawyer, so send him the invoice.
Okay. Yep. That's what lawyers do. We send a lot of invoices.
Huh? Now get it, notarize it and all that. Take it to a adjunct.
Yeah, I'm going to have Roger witness it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you think that's best. You're the lawyer here, not me.
I do. But is going to disagree with me. But that's all right.
In the state of Alabama. this does not apply. State of Alabama needs their own hot seat sponsor because it's like 10 levels beyond.
It'll end up
Desperate Maids or whatever.
It'll end up being a representative of the most august and respected.
You know, the sponsor of the state, the sponsor in Alabama is like the University of Alabama.
It's like
Bear's son. He's the one in charge of all the state hot seats anyway.
No, I was going to choose another one of Bear Bryant's son's business interest, which, if you do not know this, dog tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes.
Out there in L.A., Lower Alabama? Yeah.
Out there in Lower Alabama, dog tracks.
These dogs running like they got a hot seat. Speaking of, Nick Saban has disappointed me again.
Remember, in any coach's hot seat, when somebody says, man, what's Nick Saban doing at 5? The answer is the coach at Alabama is always in the 5 spot.
The answer is being the coach at Alabama.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They could win a title, and he's hanging at a steady 5. Maybe even a 4, because now the pressure's really on.
What he's doing there is serving at the pleasure of Alabama fans.
It's just like American Gladiators. Every week, you're up, Laser. We don't care what he did last week.
Is that his American Gladiator name?
Oh, my God. Nick Saban as the tiniest American Gladiator.
No, I think his Gladiator name's like Titan.
Gigantor.
Yeah, Jupiter.
Biggest.
His name's Andromedon.
Kneel before Lord Humongous.
Yeah, that's that is totally his American Gladiator name.
We don't
have an and this is our gradual transition, by the way, into looking at the people who we consider to be on the proverbial hot seat. And I'd like to think that all of us, I think, are fairly forgiving in this because we've seen really bad football and been under the thumb of some very bad coaches as fans and understand that some jobs are harder than others. For instance, what could one say about being a coach in the state of Indiana as the head man at either Purdue or Indiana? What constitutes improvement? It's a pretty low bar, even against your previous performance, right?
Yeah, but Indiana occasionally does that thing where it's like, oh, shoot, we won the SEC East by proxy. So the problem with Indiana is Kevin Wilson occasionally wins a game that makes you think Indiana should be good. Purdue has the decency to never do that.
Yeah, Indiana sort of falls victim to raising the bar like off the ground.
Well, all right, Purdue...
I mean, Indiana took you out on that one super romantic date, and Purdue just brings over bagel bites every Thursday.
And wears gym shorts on dates.
hey, these have pepperoni.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I wore my Olas over again.
I think these are your Umbros. I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure. I'm still wearing Umbros because I'm Purdue. I bet West Lafayette you could wear a pair of Umbros, and people would be like, those look sick, bro. Looking pretty good. I mean, Purdue, I don't know what you do. You know, like, they won three games last year. If you win four, you can technically say you improved, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, go for that. You wouldn't be lying.
And reach for that golden hoop.
The golden hoop of almost of being two. The golden hoop of being two games away from being shit bowl eligible, right?
Oh, yes. Really? It's Purdue. That's golden.
I mean, I don't. I mean, that just the prospect of what constitutes improvement is such a dark comedic question there that, like, I don't even know where you start to answer that, you know? And I was, if I were Indiana's head coach, what's my defense for a 4-8 schedule? I'm like, you know, this is a cursed program, right?
Well, like, I just point to Tom Crean a lot.
Just, yeah, I mean, you've seen that
every press conference be like, oh, that's coach, like lost by 30.
Your Indiana football coach, like, you get in on these Tom Crean memes. Like, Indiana basketball loses, and you got the sad MJ Tom Crean ready to fire. People don't even notice that you're the head football coach at the same university.
And, like, Kevin Wilson is just on that, like, let's see what people on Twitter are saying about Indiana. Let's just look up what they're saying about Tom Crean right now. Retweet, retweet, retweet.
Damn.
Wait, are you trying to tell us you're Kevin Wilson?
I've been waiting for the right opportunity to confess this, but I've been coaching.
Coach, you should probably spend more time coaching.
Disagree.
Based on certain results.
You should spend more time with your family. Go fishing. Relax. Take care of yourself. Self-care is really where self-love begins, and what are any of us without that, Kevin Wilson? They have an Indiana, like, last year, like, they beat Missouri, and then after that, they didn't. Do you know who they beat after they beat Missouri? They beat two teams after they beat Missouri. They beat North Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they went on a good bender.
Oh, they beat Purdue.
They beat Purdue.
They came back from like 20 down to beat Purdue in a thriller.
In a thriller at home
for the bucket.
Yeah, that's a trophy.
Their trophy is a bucket.
A bucket. That
and not like a brand new bucket.
It's a bucket to remind you that at least we have running water.
Remember, buckets pretty much just get taken either into bathrooms or out of sick wards. It's a really appropriate trophy for what's going on here.
Look at this bucket. Remember that everything is empty.
I like to think of the Indiana-Purdue trophy as like a prison starter kit.
Why are there so many trophies in the Big Ten that are just like, oh, we found this?
Well, you know, it's a conference that was born, you know, it was coming of age.
Sales?
It was coming of age around the Great Depression. They just like to hoard things.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the Sun Belt. Shh. They don't care about trophies. They'll just upload it.
On their
torrents.
Yeah, every trophy in the Sun Belt's a new jet ski. That's it. True. Like, what? We play for a jet ski going out to the lake this weekend. How about you? Well, I don't know. We got one of them fancy go karts they modded up for deer hunting.
Sunbelt still sponsored by Wave Race. Not even sorry.
I figure Sunbelt trophies are just whatever they managed to pull out of a Bass Pro Shops, right? Like, oh, look, we got a nice owl decoy. Look at that.
I found this ambulance on Craigslist.
And like the big 12 trophies, it's like there's just one.
just okay, yeah. Then we like that.
They just leave it in Austin. Everybody goes and looks at it once in a while.
So if I had to point you, like, if I'm going to give you one coach who I'm just like, okay, this dude is like fired. Like last year, if we were playing this game, I would have looked at Will Muschamp and said he's fired. He was fired last November. This is just playing out the string. He's completely done. Jason Kirk, who is that person that you're like, yeah, this year is just hospice?
Do I get to take the obvious one?
You get Do first it. Shot. You Do take it. You take the person you want to take.
Jim Harbaugh.
Shit. Has won no games at Michigan. Yeah, like your mind. Shit.
Michigan State and Ohio State are combined 3-0 during his tenure. I'm going to go Al Golden. Going out on a limb here. I don't see Al pulling this one out.
I'm so torn on that because I don't know who they would get. Like, they don't have that guy who, like, who's the obvious, like, mistress in waiting.
Hey, man, take a look at UTSA. See what Larry Coker's putting together down there. That guy's he's got South Florida connections.
I think he's worked in the area before.
He has worked in the area before.
He's built the program from scratch.
Tell you what,
he still has a real estate license.
Tommy Tuberville knows Ray Lewis.
Oh my God.
You know, that's actually like,
oh my God, what have you done? What have you done?
Not a bad idea, huh? Not a bad idea. Ed Orgeron. Man, get the whole gang back together.
Somewhere 100 years from now in the future, a scientist is frantically trying to master time travel so he can undo you saying that and dooming us to that reality.
Tommy Tuberville in the ACC at last.
At last. We're playing for that 11-5 game makes all the sense in the world.
Oh my God, that's how we unlock final Tommy Tuberville. He's going to go on a fucking rampage.
Final Tuberville.
Boss mode.
Boss mode Tuberville.
He would finally be in his element.
Dude, shoot like, him in the, shoot like him in the blanking tried, spike hair. He tried hair.
Punt to win in the SEC, and that, yeah, sure, that worked. That worked.
No,
but
no, you gotta
he's
wait
home, he, son.
You got to wait till he runs away from the restaurant to shoot him. Oh, he's only vulnerable then.
This is worth it only for this. The excruciating ways that he is going to beat Florida State as head coach in Miami. With obviously inferior teams. Like, Florida State will be favored by 30 going into that game. And Tuberville will call up some bullshit where he's like, we punt on second down.
We're gonna score 12 points and win.
We'll let them have all the yardage they want up until they get to the 3-yard line. And then we're serious.
Man, listen, Miami, you want that Russell Athletic Bowl every year from now till forever? Dude, go bring Tobby home.
Miami, do you want that Russell Athletic, like, gear he contract?
He'd get rings made, too.
You want to upgrade?
Look at all these Russell Athletic rings, girl. I bought these at Ross.
You want to upgrade to Russell Athletic from Adidas? Which...
Hey, man, Paul Johnson would tell you. He'd tell you there's nothing like classic, comfortable Russell Cotton.
Yeah, but you know how many returning starters Miami has, too, right? Like, I thought, maybe they'll be kind of...
Oh, well, there's the quarterback.
Then you watch the draft.
Yeah, no, I looked at the draft. But remember, that 6-6 team just cranked out, like, what, 7 draft picks?
Yeah, they had, if you go by a weighted draft system, they had they sent the second most talent to the NFL off of a bad team.
The first being who?
Well, that'd be them Noles.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because Florida's right back there.
I meant the second most out of anybody.
Right.
And it was from a bad team.
Yeah, and off a really, really bad team. They only return 11 starters. Yeah.
And get them.
The hype there is their quarterback was really good last year with, you know, Duke Johnson and so forth, which, okay. How's it going to be without Duke Johnson and so forth?
Probably better.
Yeah, it'll probably be great.
Probably awesome.
Probably be awesome, especially because let's see, they play at Florida State. Oh, they get Nebraska, whatever Nebraska is going to be. They get their standard ACC schedule. Oh, and their tough road trips really aren't that bad after that. So I don't know. Like that's my official answer. I will say there's one thing in support of your final boss Tuberville theory, Jason. One thing: Thursday, October 1st. Their road trip to Cincinnati.
Which bus will Tommy leave on?
Oh,
the prophecy has been foreseen.
Tommy, if you want to know what Tommy has dropped the rest of his life for, his whole calendar for 2015 is a blank after Thursday, October 1st.
He's already breaking down film of that ACC Atlantic champion.
Dude, he probably like the lease on his house, right? Like the more
he has
like
an exit clause.
No,
it expires the morning of that game. He's not even coming back after
12:01, October 2nd, 2015. Thomas Tuberville may hereby leave this legal agreement to rent this house. Right,
so it's a split screen of the final seconds ticking down as Cincinnati wins that game, and the final seconds. On the bomb, Tommy Tuberville left in his house
in a 3-point stance on the sideline as the clock ticks down.
Celebrating with the Miami players as he just beat them.
I will tell you the last, and I will tell you too, like, in case that wasn't enough of like a doom-filled proposition, the last three games for Miami are at North Carolina and then ending with two teams that run the crap out of the ball, Georgia Tech and Pitt. That's...
Oh, he's going to die on a Pitt. That's so sad.
Oh, a Pitt. And optimistically, my favorite thing. I know every team has this, but it's really fun to look down and see. ACC championship game. Oh, they're
there.
They're playing in that. It's happening.
It's got sad and dark.
Yeah. Ryan, who?
Damn.
All right, so Al Golden.
That was rude.
Al Golden is off the board, and we've already put Tommy Tuberville in his place.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay in South Florida and give you Ron Turner.
Now, where which program is he coach at?
Florida's International University.
Oh, yeah, that was the school that also hired whom to hire to coach their basketball team?
That would be Isaiah Thomas.
Correct, meaning in an unpaid position, if you remember.
Yeah. And ran off a good coach that they had for no damn reason.
Yeah. Oh, and also ran off Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
Who was a good coach there, who's now the offensive line coach, I believe, in Alabama.
And getting paid way more than FIU was
getting paid more than he was paid as a head coach.
You're fired. Thank you for the promotion.
They fired him after one bad year.
Yeah. I mean.
Because they wanted to go get Butch Davis. And, yes.
And then sure. They said, well.
Well,
yeah. So.
Butch works at ESPN, is it?
I mean,
something like that. CBS Sports Network.
I mean, if you like crossover, FIU does play their second game of the season at Indiana. So that's going to be the game where Indiana puts up, let's conservatively say, 60 points, and we're all like, "Oh shit!"
Oh,
Kevin
listen.
Wilson has this rolling. And then it turns out it was just FIU.
No, it was just FIU.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in surrenders 55.
Well, you're playing on FIU? That's when all the sliders are set to zero. That's not fair.
Also, man, Kevin Wilson, after all the he's got that thing where after all the ass beatings he's taken, as head coach of Indiana, if he gets the chance to turn the corner and hang 60 on somebody.
Do it.
Yeah, man. Like,
can you imagine like Indiana-Arkansas bowl game if like Kevin Wilson has a chance to go for Burt's throat? Could like, be like a 7,000-point game.
Oh, right. Like if Arkansas just sleepwalks after finishing. Like,
if Arkansas forgets to show up or something.
Right. If they just all go out and imbibe and have a really great time in, I don't know, Shreveport or wherever they are.
Memphis.
Oh, man. Arkansas in a Memphis Bowl is a really – that is a low capacity. There's a lot of – that's one big pitfall.
I can just smell the smoker.
Yeah, but you can just smell the smoker and the beer and how bad just cigarettes. When your team struggles in from like the morning after and they all smell like cigarettes, you're like, "Oh, we're losing this bowl game."
It's like teenagers don't even smoke cigarettes anymore.
No, they just all picked it up that night.
Like all the players are just, we got to do something unhealthy.
Oh man, I think I ran some liquor across the border for no reason last night.
Also, yeah, everyone and that is a border. It's not a state line. It's a border.
Players show up on absinthe. How do you little shitheads even know what that is?
I lost all my money in a Pharaoh game on a riverboat with a queen from the brothels. And you're like,
I'm watching a lot of Maverick.
You
lately.
Guys don't like any of this stuff.
I know. You guys, did you go to a party in 1848 last night? Yeah, we did. It was crazy.
Welcome to the opium den.
We just draft dodged.
Also, remember, if you're Arkansas and you're playing in Memphis, all your cousins can show up, right? Like, oh, come to the bowl game. It's close. Oh,
hey, man.
Yeah, your family can
you guys
show up.
Hiring? You guys hiring?
Yeah. This isn't a pro team. Yeah, it's not going to. Ron Turner's a good answer. It's not a sexy answer either in terms of, you know.
In any regard.
Absolutely anyway.
Yeah, it's really not. But, you know, I will say this. Who played a lot better at the end of the season last year?
Don't do that.
1-11, 4-8. I'm telling you, Mike get over. Mike get over 400. They might do it.
He'll write a book.
I'm actually just to be a fucking piss ant. I will Riverside you on that and say that Ron Turner survives this season.
You're such a dick.
I'm not saying he thrives. I'm just saying he survives. Okay.
Ron Turner, office ficus.
Yeah, office ficus.
Plan. He's not dead. Just give him some more iced tea.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick one because these are you guys pick the ones who the nurses were already holding mirrors underneath their noses, right? I'm gonna pick one that I think really is like in trouble in a couple of different ways, and that would be Mike Gundy.
Ooh, I like that pick.
Yeah. And I mean, before you even look at the record, before you look at anything else, that's not a real like happy position that he's in politically.
Nope. I like that he's basically on the record being like, "Yeah, T-Bone just doesn't really talk to me anymore."
Yeah, the guy who pays my salary just stopped calling.
Is that weird? Is that bad? It's probably good.
Is that anything? Yeah, I mean, it's been. The heyday for Oklahoma State was probably what we're starting in 2009 through 2010, sure. Right? Like, you know, they have, you know, the win in the Alamo, the win in the Fiesta, they have Brandon Whedon. They have this amazing run where they almost make the national title. And if you were really smart, that's probably when you would have taken another job, right? But Gundy's a lifer. They're going to have to fire him. And the last three seasons, 8-5, 10-3, with the loss in the bowl game, and then a fall to 7-6. And most, the worst part about this has been their dwindling record in the Big 12, right? And what has not been a real strong conference, top to bottom.
They have a road schedule that sets up real nice for like weird bad shit. They play in conference. They play Texas on the road. That doesn't matter. But they play West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Iowa State all on the road.
Ooh. Yeah, they play Texas. They play Texas Tech on the road.
Yeah, on Halloween night.
Oh yeah, no, that's a loss. That's honest, a 20-point loss. Halloween just day, pencil it in.
I always feel like Oklahoma State is that one team that, like, if you rank them in your top 25, it's like, yeah, you know some shit. Like, you put them there just to be like, yeah, they're going to be pretty good this year. And like, it's a team that you rank, and everyone's like, yeah, that's a good pick. I don't know why. I don't have any evidence for that. That seems like a good pick. And like, this is the year where it's like, you know, they had a quarterback who came on at the end of the year, which sure they always do, and then they lose him, and then like they replace him with like eight other guys.
Yeah, and then,
that's the whole Oklahoma State.
Well, thing. And they've always had the thing where if they lost a coach, they found a coach, right? Like, oh, we lose Holgerson. Okay, we'll just hire Munkin. Okay, we lose Munkin. We'll hire Mike Richardson. It's not really worked out quite as well as previous hires. You know, when people start eating your coaching staff, eventually you'll just be a diminished body, right? That's gonna happen. They do have a lot of returning starters.
Get Greg Robinson. He's ready.
Been ready. With a stuffed animal just waiting on the sidelines.
Are you my mommy?
I've stated before, I am both over 40 at this point and a man. Could not categorically be your mother. Greg Robinson might tell you differently. Greg likes to say all kinds of insane things. The other weird thing, Oklahoma State, where do they, you know where they open the 2015 season? And I have no idea how the hell this happened. They open at Kelly Short Stadium in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, at Central Michigan.
Yeah, it's a recruiting hotbed.
You gotta read these contracts, guys. You really gotta.
That's nope. Not gonna read a single damn bit.
These weird, like, how Baylor played Buffalo in Buffalo last year and these weird road games. Like, this is the college football equivalent of when a freshman in college signs up for a credit card. He's like, man, I don't even have to pay anything for the first 3 months. I'd be stupid not to get this.
I need to build credit.
That's the dumbest thing everyone has ever said. I
need this Peter Pitts credit card sponsored by Visa.
A 28% interest rate seems reasonable enough.
I get 3% off every Peter Pitt purchase.
I'll pay it off the next day. I have to play at Central Michigan? What?
God. Oh no, Mom.
I wonder if this is like an oil drilling expedition or something. Like, are they testing
part
out
of the Keystone XL pipeline?
They're testing out Mount Pleasant's frackability.
Exactly. Like, bad news is we lost the game in an atrocious upset. The good news is this is extremely frackable land. The other, by the way, they play at Texas. They play at West Virginia. The games they get at home, they get TCU.
Yeah,
they get TCU and Baylor. And whatever Oklahoma's going to be, which is just completely unpredictable in that rivalry game, and they get Kansas State. This is bad.
Those home games, that's going to feel a lot. That's going to hurt a lot. It's going to be real bad and unfun.
Dude, even their easy road game is not an easy road game because it's Ames. Anything can happen in Ames.
They're really seeing the world.
They are. They're seeing a lot of places with greatly varying degrees and shades of drinkable groundwater.
God, that means one of these games is homecoming.
Mm.
Do it. Do it, Gundy. Call out TCU. Frogs ain't shit. Do it, Gundy.
Trevon Boykin runs for like 200 yards and passes for 500.
On homecoming.
On homecoming.
Your 20-year reunion sucks.
All the letters on the stadium just rearranged themselves to Trevon Boykin instead of Boone Pickens.
It works if you think about it.
Yeah, the letters are all there. Don't count them. Facts are meaningless. Anyone else that we see on that in terms of the coach's hot seat that we're like, okay. Because like these are other people I know are totally fired, okay?
Who
Mike
are much London. Less grammar. Mike London is dead.
Mike London's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Paul Petrino is gone.
Yeah.
At Idaho.
Paul Petrino has a real good chance to be the first midseason firing because he'll do something dumb.
I don't know about that. I mean, does he have a buyout more than like $8? Because if so, he's golden. He's set.
You don't understand. Entrenched. Paul Petrino going to get fired for cause.
Yeah, I mean, what if somebody said, Paul Petrino was fired. Like if this, while recording, if we said, oh, Paul Petrino's gone. No shock, right?
No. Be like, what'd he do? He light a bank on fire? Probably.
Yeah. Todd Monken at Southern Miss. Gone. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The only one that I'm kind of like, Dana Holgorsen. If they fired Dana after this season with like a 6-6 record, you'd kind of be like, yeah.
But you'd also kind of be like, no.
It's got to be decisively bad for me to be like, okay.
Yeah.
It's got to be atrocious. And finally, There's two that I'm like seriously on the fence about that I could see going either way.
Because I don't know.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nah.
It's a big contract for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not personally impressed, but they have, you know, the hometown boy factor and all that stuff. They really like that guy. I think he's bought himself an extra year by being who he is.
What if it gets real bad, though? What if it's, like, two-win bad?
Gets real bad?
No, gets
You've
real bad.
Seen them trying to tackle anything?
if it gets worse.
Yeah.
I think he's got a terrible year. Right. I don't think they can, like, the hometown hero who's bringing back the air raid and all that shit after, you know, one terrible year.
Okay.
All right. Who's the other one?
Mike McIntyre, Colorado.
Oh, that makes me sad. Don't say that.
That's I don't think they can move quick either, cuz
I was going to say this your sadness tells me that it's entirely possible.
We're too attached. We got attached to a Colorado coach. We like his haircut.
Should have never loved him.
But like their previous coach, John Embry, was that his name?
Yeah.
Like they canned that guy after what, 2 years, and everyone, you know,
after 2 years, and he was like, "Yeah, I was buying all the team snacks." As it turns out,
yeah, he came out. Yeah, and started talking shit about their office furniture.
He said we didn't have chairs or water.
I got a folder full of Capri Sun receipts over here. Y'all might want to see.
There's one other one. Actually, two others. Derek Mason and Vandy could be gone. Right, like that could just be. Poof.
Yeah, I think the problem was he pulled the replace the coordinator ripcord pretty quick. Doing it after one season is a real panic move.
Y'all are pushing these buttons quick.
Yeah, but hiring
y'all want these dudes gone.
Yeah, but hiring Carl Durrell is a fireable offense from the start.
Yeah, All right.
How about Timmy Bex? Old Tim Beckman in Illinois.
Oh, man. I think we just sort of started this whole podcast and thought that was just a given.
Y'all thought he was already fired, didn't you? Y'all thought he was already gone.
Yeah, he might not make it past the next 2 weeks, man.
He might not make it by the time you publish this, Spencer. So just edit it out, just to be safe.
Wait, we're doing this live, right?
Yeah, this is...
Tim Beckman is totally fired. I did not overdub that.
Oh, right, we forgot.
We forgot. The other dude is totally fired, like just fired. Like I could just see them getting canning him. Scott Schaefer at Syracuse.
Another
magnificent branch of the Lloyd Carr coaching tree.
Got that hard nose though.
Indistinguishable in every way from Tim Beckman.
Yeah, curse of Atlanta. Talk shit about Atlanta. Get fired.
Get beat by Georgia Tech like 72-0.
Go Hawks.
Paul Johnson's gonna set him on fire every time he can.
Real slow. I'm going to start at your toes.
Exactly. He'll just drop his pants up by 40.
I've seen Syracuse fans in the awkward predicament of, because they just landed one of their biggest recruits in years, in the awkward predicament of, now I hope our coach doesn't get fired.
Yeah, he's fired. He's gone. Do we have any rogue, before we address another question, any other rogue entries into the watch list?
You know what? I'll throw Les Miles on there.
I'll do it.
That fan base, and I know this from having taken over this week in Schadenfreude last year, they are real pissed. They are real freaking pissed at Les Miles. And losing to Notre Dame in a Nashville bowl game does not help that.
And I could see this year, because this year, what would the big downfall be? Oh, we still didn't have a fucking quarterback.
Yeah.
That's all on Les. That's been Les's problem for X number of years now.
But what's been the compensation for that? What's been keeping them afloat?
That defense.
Correct. And what happened this offseason?
Their
defense. And where did that guy go?
He went to
their new official arch rival.
In division.
In division. And mind you, that was the unit that pretty much was the only one in the entire division that managed to throttle A&M consistently. And A&M went and got that guy and made him their defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So two of the elements that have really, or three, there's three elements that have propped up the LSU Les Miles regime. That would be recruiting, that would be defense, and that would be the run game, right? They still have the recruiting. The defense is under new management. Do you know who's their new defensive coordinator?
It was that dude at Clemson who gave up about 80 billion points to West Virginia.
Yeah, the guy who can't coach a secondary, Kevin Steele.
The guy who, according to rumors that I personally can't confirm, at some point forgot he was coaching college players and was giving them NFL calls during a game.
Correct. The guy who once hit a gun, put a gun in a safe in the Nebraska football offices that was allegedly involved in a shooting.
Well, now you're just boosting his Louisiana credit.
I want you to understand the context of how this hire was made.
There are pros and cons.
There are pros and cons, but the
and
dude...
And guns. Mostly guns.
The dude who...
Pros and guns.
Remember when you think about what the weaknesses and strengths of LSU's defense are, the secondary needed some work, and they're not going to get it. At all. So LSU, that's a bold choice. Jason, have you one more to throw on the fire before we move on to our next important question?
Man, I like safe shit. Norm Chow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they're just gonna wait that out. They're gonna be like, oh, it's a lot of work. We're probably going under anyway.
The next question comes from the legendary Michael Felder at In the Bleachers.
Speaking of hot seats.
Quite a transition. What do you guys think is the best way to limit b-hole sweat? It's funnier when he types it b-hole. B-hole sweat during steamy southern summers. Ah, the grand question of how to keep the great divide tidy in times of serious swamp ass. I have an answer, but I want to turn this over to Jason first, since he's the lifelong Georgian who understands swamp ass maybe a little better than the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be quite honest. Any solutions that anyone has ever tried are worse than the actual problem. Just, you know, change your drawers a lot and try to shower every day, and just endure it. That's my advice. Just surrender.
Ryan, what says the great cold north about a tidy butthole?
I promise you, I don't know a goddamn thing about this. I took a job in Florida once in the summer where I had to wear a suit every goddamn day. Hmm. If I knew how to solve back sweat and swamp ass, I would have $1 million right now. But instead, just get I have a lot of ruined dress shirts.
Just get you one of them webcams.
That's how you do it. It's like a dash cam, except you put it on your ass. I really have no great solutions for this. There's only a series of small measures which can mitigate frequent showering. You're going to have to shower frequently. I think that generally, if you're using baby wipes, if you got those in the house, stock them in the bathroom. They keep things a little fresher down there than just your standard toilet paper. Until our savage country understands the magnificence of the bidet and all it has to offer, that's as close as we're going to get. Some people say Gold Bond powder. To me, that's just adding an element of farce.
Now you're just making biscuit mix somehow.
Exactly. Like, you're just turning your entire ass into a bakery. And let's not do that. It's one thing to live in the mockery that is the gross human body. It's another to make theater of it.
You're making a damn plaster in your underpants.
Exactly. You're going to create a plaster of Paris school project down there.
And you got a goddamn ass mask.
But the good news is you'll be able to patch your walls, and that's good for your security deposit.
Exactly. If you're a multitasker, that's definitely the way to go. And my final suggestion besides that is loose underwear. Loose. Don't go for...
Wow.
You want a little more ventilation going down there. I think for those who are really seriously worried about this, that you just have to do, what New Yorkers actually always recommend, which is that if you cannot wear shorts, and I think this podcast is officially on the, you wear shorts whenever you want. Okay.
Yep.
But if you're in a situation where you can't, you got to wear some light pants and you got to wear some loose, flowy underwear, okay? I'm not saying go out and get the Chinese gangster silk boxers, okay?
I'm not saying don't do that.
I mean, if that's your thing, that's fine. But get some, if you haven't worn boxers in a while, you can give those a try. You need some ventilation, is what I am saying, okay?
Well, counter theory is that the snug boxer brief look for the fellas, or maybe a boy short for the ladies, or what have you, it's just going to keep everything so constricted that any liquids really don't have anywhere to go. So,
well, I would say
that's quite literally how a pressure cooker works.
Yeah,
that's a and then you look down and you have made dinner. I don't know, man.
Now that's,
but look,
that's,
rice.
This is a tactical question for those of you who, you know who you are. You're the butt sweaters and or crotch sweaters. You exist. Fine, don't do that. You're gonna have to take precautionary measures the other way.
Man, crotch sweat is so much worse than butt sweat.
It's like battle. There's no magical weapon. There's no silver bullet. You just need to make sure that
just live till tomorrow.
You need to make sure that your munitions are varied enough to accommodate any demand that the theater of battle is going to place.
It's like rock, paper, scissors, man. When the butt sweat is rushing you with horses, you've got pikemen.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. You got Angry Birds overhead. You're going to need an RPG. Okay. But maybe you don't want to carry that around because you don't need it. Fine. Just make sure that you know what you're taking into battle with you. Ryan, your question.
All right, so I'm going to go with this question from TJ Basala, at TJ Basala on Twitter. Who are the front runners for the Carlos Huerta He's Still Here award for the season? There's really, I think, only one answer to this, and it's not like a bad, oh my God, he's still around. It's Chucky Keaton. Chucky Keaton's going to be back for a fifth season of eligibility in 2015, and he has been around so long at this point.
That's the correct answer. I mean, like, I feel like 2013, 2014 was like, oh yeah, Chucky coming back kind of year. And
right.
now it's like, Chucky coming back?
Chucky coming back?
Chucky back.
They're making another Jason versus Freddy film? What?
it's like Chucky 9.
let's see. Jason, your question.
This comes to us from Jack Peglow Jack Peglow on Twitter. What is the appropriate level of drunk you should get at a tailgate for a noon, 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. kickoff? So what we're talking about here is degrees of drunkability.
So I would like to start by saying that, in my opinion, the 3 p.m. is the hardest degree of difficulty of these.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I think then it goes 7 p.m., noon is the easiest.
Yeah. Now, Jason and I discussed this beforehand. We have some exotic wagers.
Yeah, we
have some exotic wagers on degree of difficulty for the basics here, okay? I would say this. You're correct. The 3 p.m. is the most difficult. The 7 p.m. is the easiest, particularly because you've had all day to calibrate, get the right amount of food in. It's a time of day when you're probably used to drinking a little bit more, right?
Right.
You're just, you know, it's like MMA fighters always train late at night because that's when they fight. You know, when you practice to drink at game day, typically the practicing you do is usually around 7 p.m. on any other day.
Okay. Then
I will say the noon tailgate is actually easier because I think when people pregame for that, they typically do it with stuff that's like, you know, access road drinking, right? Like, oh, we're at like the grown and sexy tailgate. There are your mimosas, right?
Right.
Maybe.
And, and it's also the tailgate most like the problem with the 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock tailgate is that at 7 o'clock, the food may have run out. At 3 o'clock, you may have planned poorly and said, well, I'll just eat something after the game. But at that noon tailgate, you haven't eaten. You have just you will definitely get some food at or right around that tailgate.
So you're getting more efficient drinking at that hour.
Yeah, you're buffering yourself nicely.
Yeah, also, it's really hard to get trash for that noon game.
I mean,
you got to put in work.
I would disagree with that, but go ahead.
Well, I just generally, there are your outliers. Okay. You're going to get those people who are just five standard deviations off stupid, right?
Because the one wrinkle with the noon game that ups the degree of difficulty potentially is that it induces that sort of panic in the right or the wrong sort of person where they say, all right, the clock is ticking. I have to get as much Everclear into my body as possible, or this bus will explode.
I will tell you what the great leveler on that and the great encourager of that is. The great leveler is heat. If you're in some place where it's just going to be inhumanely hot, it's just hard to drink that much. Physically, hard to put that much booze into your system. Conversely, I think you could make a bigger mistake if you're at some Big Ten school in November when it's noon and you're like, man, it's cold. I'm just going to get as hammered as I possibly can.
I don't understand how bodies work.
I don't want to feel anything right now.
I mean, to me, the key is when your team kicks off is less relevant than are you pacing yourself to be completely gone by around 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Like your team kicking off at noon, sure, that's one component of your day, but you're also going to stay up and watch Washington State.
Also,
so you've got to keep in mind that midnight Pac-12 action.
If that, and also you're probably going to be able to sneak a nap in for that noon game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like that.
especially if you're at an Illinois game, start drinking at like 4.
You're going to get a lull. Now, the more exotic, difficult maneuvers, I insist that the most difficult game to get properly calibrated for would be the late Thursday game. Late Thursday, Pac-12, kicking off at like 9 or 10. That's hard to do because you have to be somewhat operational the next day.
I was going to say, especially if it's a home game. If it's a road game, you probably took the day off on Friday.
Yeah.
You're fine. But if it's a home
either game. Either way, I don't know, a Thursday night game because nobody really works on a Friday.
Yeah, but you still got to make an appearance.
Yeah, you just got to show up, though. That's all.
Sleep, and this is going to be on top of sleep deprivation. Like, sleep deprivation is going to make you twice as hungover.
You can make it to the office. That's all you got to do on a Friday.
It's very difficult. Now, yours...
I think more difficult.
Yours was, I think, maybe completely unreasonable.
Well, like the Tuesday or the Wednesday night, the Fun Belt or the Maction. If you're going to one of those games, first of all, you're going to need something in you, because, let's be honest, we've seen that.
There is no sustenance here.
I think if you're showing up, I think Wednesday is another day that nobody actually gets any work done. It's kind of a mini Friday. You know, I think as long as you're working kind of hard on Tuesday and Thursday and you're present on Monday, you can't really get fired. So to me, I think the Tuesday night game, obliterate yourself. To me, that's where you get in your real quality self-harm. And the others, it's all just about finding that perfect amount of nearly unconscious.
I think it's also important to point out that bowl games are an entirely different animal in this regard. And I know this because reading that story about how Iowa and Tennessee fans cleared out the Jacksonville Stadium of all their brown liquor. Because, like, you go to the Outback Bowl, that's a noon game on New Year's Day. You've probably made some bad choices because you're in Tampa already. You're probably not in fighting shape because of those bad choices. You better be careful if you're going to tailgate for the Outback Bowl.
What is, like, in New York, they drop a big apple, in Atlanta it's a peach. What do they drop in Tampa?
Ooh, I would say it's a shotgun, a sawed-off shotgun that's been thrown out of a car so the cops can't catch you.
So that's how I celebrate the calendar turning over?
Yeah.
Yep. Nope, it's a big CPAP. Big CPAP mask just falling down.
Yeah, if you're seeing the CPAP mask, you better get tore up.
I just want to lead a normal life like everybody else.
Florida Bane is the saddest Bane.
I may be 600 pounds, but in my heart I'm feather light. And that's it.
Shit.